Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Faithus, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have become co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of property, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing a badly broken legal system. We stand with you, ladies and gentlemen, to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is March 13th, 2024. My name is Robin Austin. I'm with my co-host tonight, Lou Ann Fleming.
Good evening, everyone. We've got a great show for you tonight. This is March 13th, 2024. We do have Marcy Friedman with us, but before I announce her, I wanted to say that we might be having some technical difficulties tonight because of a huge storm coming into Colorado. Hoping we can stay open for at least an hour and a half. But you never know. If all of a sudden it goes blank, then you know. So anyway, welcome to Faces Radio, everybody. Every Wednesday night, you're listening to Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. We've got a good show tonight, man. We've thought of some really good things that we want to talk about, and every now and then we'll have a roundtable discussion. That means we invite all of our listeners to come on and talk about their stories, their real-life experiences that they've had in the probate court, family court, divorce court, you name it. You come on to our radio show and talk about that. Do we have any updates? We're working on our book, and it's coming out soon, hopefully. So we'll keep you more updated on that. And we got Marcy Friedman with us. And Hillary Kolg has the night off, everybody. So hugs to her, hugs to her family. And Marcy, you with us?
Yes, I am. And thank you, Luann and Robin, and good evening, America, to keep up this good works that we're doing. To try to take our experiences and use it to help other people. That's what God does. He allows really bad things to happen, but is to really, when you look at it, is to try to save the American people from being scammed. It's all over the news now and a lot of newspaper articles that it is elder scams that are going on. So hopefully we can try to save one victim at a time, or at least have a chance to speak up and not feel oppressed and tell their story, which they're entitled to, because in the United States of America, one thing that my parents were very adamant about was we came to the United States because of the Constitution of the United States, and it's important that you study it so you can become an American citizen, and you know not to put up with dictatorship, the Cuban dictatorship. And sadly, I feel like we are regressing and living a world of slavery again, where our parents work really, really hard to live well till the end of their lives and share it with their daughter and their the grandchildren. But unfortunately, my mother's fate was not that as yours, Luann, and many other victims. And
yeah.
I feel like I was late to make other people rich, and good daughters and good sons and nephews, and like Getty, are attacked for protecting their loved ones. And that's pretty messed up.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Right?
I'm glad you brought that up. We've suffered a lot on this radio show. We've heard tremendous stories, terrifying stories for the last almost 8 years, everybody. We've been on live for almost 8 years in May. Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing. And that I give it to all of our listeners and the victims that come forward and the really good attorneys that have come on with us and shared their experiences. And it's been, we've lost a lot of property and a lot of stuff happened on our case, which we'll be reading about in the book. But, you know, we've made some great friends nationally, haven't we? I mean, I'm really thankful for that. I mean, I can just go on and name the people that I've talked to. And I tell you, we all have that in common, is the sadness and the hurt and the anger. But then we also have a lot of friends as well from this. So, you know, as long as we all remain friends and be a voice for those people who can't speak out, I think that's a wonderful thing.
It does build bonds between people when you are both victimized. And and you, particularly in this case, because victims can't see it coming. It's hidden. The courts hide what they're doing. We're not really alerted to it by the media. They're all sort of in on the game, it seems, when it comes right down to it, and don't give away the fact, except, I mean, for years they didn't say anything. And then a whole lot of people got behind Britney Spears, and then quite a few people got behind Peter Max. And people started to hear a little bit about it.
And the I Care a Lot movie came out.
Then you got the I Care a Lot movie. And of course, that's not to say there's a lot of activists that have worked very hard to bring forward this information to bring it to the attention of the people. But it's been a slow, hard, long process.
Mm-hmm.
And people used to just not believe us when we would tell them what's going on in the courts. Now, at least, we've got to the point where they go, I heard about Britney Spears. I heard about Wendy Williams.
That's going on next, too. A lot of stuff going on. Anyway,
and
we've got a really...
And about the movie, I Care a Lot. I Care a Lot. But, you know, one thing is when I advocate 10 people a day, I promise that to myself. Wherever I go, I strike a conversation and let them know, and I give them links to the show, our link to Adam Walzer, who's done a phenomenal job here in Florida, exposing the truth of the scams, of the elderly scams, is what it is. And one thing people cannot understand that what the root of the problem is. You know, what is the root of the problem? Well, we're being deprived the rights to our Constitution, the rights to be protected, to stay in our homes. Okay?
Right.
And that's basically what it is. Am I going to point the finger? I could, but I think people pretty much figure it out.
Yeah,
well, I mean, they are getting to the point where it's become more and more and more and more and more and more obvious some judges
are doing the right thing. Like in Florida right now, that judge, the one in Pinellas County, she got really mad and said to that professional guardian that I think she had like 27 people under her care, being a guardian for like 20-something people. And how can a daughter not get their mother, who's suffering from Alzheimer's, and this joker gets like 27 people, and she's had DUIs and all of that. And this woman gets away with it. And it's just there's something really wrong with the system. But this judge said Well, you know what? I want all the records. Exploitation of the elderly is not going to be allowed in my court. I want transparency, and I want to make sure that every one of those wards were diagnosed properly.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling some that some of them aren't diagnosed properly. Of course not. The ones that they get it off from a professional guardian, you know, it depends. If you're a daughter and they know that you're going to get her because that's your right of next of kin, you don't incapacitate them. And
right.
Then what benefit is that to the ward? They get a, they suffer isolation, right?
Yeah.
Neglected care and all of that. And how constitutional is that?
I got a puppy in
right?
my lap, buddy. Excuse me. I agree with that 100%. I agree with that 100%. I mean, yeah, I know that's what we're going to talk about tonight, Marcy. Let's go ahead and tell everybody what our show's about, who can call in, and let our listeners come on if they like to
yeah.
call in. We're going to invite everybody to this roundtable tonight. We do this every so often to get the stories, you know, that people want to talk to us about. So we're going to talk about, were you denied a trial by jury so that this judicial trafficking scam could be carried out against you? We're all talking about, we know what we're talking about, or your loved one, like millions of other current victims in the country as we speak. Marcy talked to me something today about SOS. What is Save Our Shit mean? We're going to talk about that tonight. And also, were you targeted and punished for protecting your loved one? Did you feel helpless, disrespected, and denied due process? Were they properly diagnosed with dementia? Come on, everybody, call in and let's talk about it. I had all that happen to me on my case. When they took my mom, I felt disrespected, we had denied due process, I felt hopeless. I mean, it was one of the hardest things I think I've ever had to go through, and I'm just really glad that, you know, my dad was a really strong person, and he always told me to stand up and fight, and don't let people walk on you, you know, so that's what I did, and that's why we're here today.
That's
I
right.
do believe
we're
that.
Still
fighting.
Really, yeah.
Get into that, Marcy. I wanted to tell everybody that one of our radio show guests, Gordon L. Wyborg Jr., died yesterday. He was on our show. He was a retired police chief, an army officer, a disabled veteran. Oh my God, he was an all-around servant to mankind. I mean, this guy was amazing. He came on quite a few times on our radio show. He worked at the U.S. Army, former chief, plans of operation of Yuma, proving ground. He was all kinds of former chief of police. We really want to say thank you, and I know you're up there with my mom and everybody else's family up there, and just wanted to say thank you for the work that you did for our country, for our radio show. You're a great guy, so I wanted to tell everybody that. That was Gordon Wyborg, everybody, and I think he worked a lot with Brian Kinter, and a lot with Zena Crenshaw as well. So I just wanted to put that out there for everybody to know that. He was a great guy. My hat is off to his
family.
So
many good people are dying, man.
Oh, he was so good. He was so good. I mean, I love talking
to him.
You know, like Bill Rossby had on last week.
And he's still alive.
But he's so good to talk to. And then there's Leslie Federico, who just, she just blows me away. These were former attorneys we had on our show last week. It was really a good show, everybody. So our shows have been doing very well.
And we feel honored and privileged to have had the opportunity to speak with Gordon Wyborg.
Yeah.
He was a gentleman and scholar. He was an outstanding human being who stood up for what was right.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about a great many of our guests. And it's why we invite them. It's why we're happy to have them. Because they're honorable people that are bringing justice and fairness and doing what's right and attempting to correct some wrongs that we all are in the middle of in this nation and in this world as it is now.
Right. Yeah. And he really wanted things to be more just, and he would just tell us how it was to be a police officer. You know, he kind of reminded me a lot of Stuart Hunty. He's another great guy.
Stuart Hunty, yeah.
Oh, just an awesome guy, you know. And
an American hero.
Yeah, American hero. But we wanted to talk about that. So we welcome you to the show tonight. If you'd like to gain a voice and come on and speak with us. And the number to do that is 845-241-9962. 845-241-9962. Let's press a 1. And they'll let us know that you have a story, a question, or whatever you want to talk about tonight. I know that there's been a lot of people that come forward, and I'm also searching for some really good stories out there in different states to put in our book. If you've had an issue go on, please just not mention any names in there of the attorneys or anybody in there, because we just don't want to be liable for anything against families. But if you had an issue,
we're not going to give them that pleasure, right?
Right. That yeah, and we just want to.
That,
put in the
we're
story.
Not going to give them any reason, right?
Right.
They can step all over. Right.
You're breaking up, Marcy. Yeah, you're breaking up. But Marcy,
that's your storm.
Yeah.
That's
oh
your
my gosh,
storm.
We got a big storm headed here to Colorado. Everybody's freaking out. I'm used to it. I mean, I don't think nothing's big in a snowstorm unless it's at least 2 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at it like, yeah, it's a windy storm. But it starts to get up there when it's 3 feet and blowing wind. Yeah, it gets to be a little hairy after that, but boy, are those fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God, I can't wait.
So let me ask you, Luann, have you been reading a lot of the articles about guardianship lately? Like, it's really, I hate to say it, but the shit hit the fan, because every time I turn around, there's an article, and, okay, Nancy Grace named it corruption,
uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
But I think I just read an article from some magazine that they're really calling it scams against the elderly. It's the biggest scam that's actually been going on for many years, except that people are catching on to it because there's just so many of them now, you know, all over the United States. This is a nationwide pandemic.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And I hear stories more and more every day. People are starting to speak up about them. And the intergenerational transfer of wealth is just starting to fade away, you know, unless you could get into a good court. But you know what? Leslie Puerto Rico talked about this last week with Phil Ross, and they said the best thing to do is try to educate families about even getting into the system at all, like don't apply for guardianship. You know, you could do your own powers of attorney. You could, you know, there's a lot of things you can do that you will not put a court in there. You don't want to go to any court for anything as long as you can get around that. So I agree with that. So if anybody needs any help, you want to go to www.familylawprose.com and make an appointment with Leslie Puerto Rico, and she will help people. She is a retired attorney from Florida along with Phil Ross, and they're working together to get out a lot of programs that are going to be helping a lot of people not to even end up in a court whatsoever. And I think that is one of the best things we can do, and that's what I'm starting to advocate for as well. Because I never knew that I would go to a court, like Marcy and I both figured this out. You go and you apply for guardianship, think you're going to help your mother, and they remove you, and then they put in their own, which drains all of your estate away. So I just want to make that perfectly clear that a lot of judges sometimes don't do that. They'll put a family member in charge, but I tell you, that is rare to me. I have hardly heard of that. And it took me 3.5 years to get guardianship of my mom. 3.5 years they were draining our trust funds out of our accounts. You know, so that's pretty uncool to me, man. I tell you what, I've never seen anything quite like it. Anyway, yeah, we're going to invite people to come on to our show and talk tonight. We'll be opening up the phone lines in about 5 or 10 minutes. The number you do that is 845-241-9962. You press a 1, 845-241-9961. And we will be able to take your call in, and you'll be live on the air as well. Now, remember, all our videos, everything we have is archived at Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. We've got a lot of stories on there, so if your family members don't believe you, send them a couple links to our show. There's some really good, awesome ones on there that we've been doing for a long time. So I wanted to let everybody know that. But, Marcy, so what did you really want to talk about? I know that... what is mentorship anyway, by the way? What does that mean? Everyone's been asking me that.
What does that mean? What did you say?
Save our ship.
Save our ship is an expression. It's an expression. It's like an idiom. Save our ship, like save us from sinking, basically. Mm-hmm. You know? But I wanted to bring this up before we move on to what we're really going to talk about.
Sure,
the Florida National Organization for Women, which I'm a participant of, I'm a member of, they put out a little flyer, and they just say, with an unhappy face and crying, saying, failed, the guardianship reform, Senate Bill 48 by Senator Ileana Garcia and House Bill 887 by Representative Rita Harris, they both worked really, really hard to pass this guardianship reform bill, what it's supposed to do is jury-based validity checks to make changes to an incapacitated person's will, increasing transparency on required guardianship, financial reports, and family visitation rights. It didn't pass it in Tallahassee. That's just to tell you how bad it is, okay? It did not pass it, okay? So basically, they can still... according to this, violate your rights to anatomy and your constitutional rights under the 14th Amendment, which is pretty bad. I don't understand how we can have a Bill of Rights, how we can have a Constitution of the United States, and then they can be taken away. Well, you have to, you know, have these bills passed in order to keep your rights. So my question is, is the constitutional rights are still intact, or is this a state thing but not a federal thing? I don't know. I mean, we worked really, really hard to pass that bill, and you were the jury by trials. It's a right in the United States, but here in Florida, it has to be approved by the Senate, I guess, because it didn't pass on the bill. So how can those rights be taken away from us?
You know, really, it just goes to show that what we really, honest to God, have in the United States now is, by and large, a rogue government. Because every single person that gets sworn into an office in the United States, from a police officer to a judge, why, a lawyer even has to take an oath, and all of them are required, if they're going to hold an office where they're, you know, in a public office, they have to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. They all make an oath that they will do so. So every time that they do not do whatever action it is that would defend our rights under that Constitution, they are violating their oath and that's breaking laws right there. So what we have is a rogue government that happily and carelessly threw away our Bill of Rights, stomps on it every day in our courts, and does not give a damn for the American people. And it has really, it's become something that this country is no longer the democratic republic that it was designed to be. And it's because the American people don't know enough about their history and how their government works to understand that they are responsible for it and that they have to stand up and fight for it, and that if they don't stand up and fight for it, people will take it, and they're not allowed to under the Constitution. They're not supposed to. It's not designed in a way that can happen, but we have to defend it. That's why we were given the right to bear arms is, which is so hotly contested these days, but that's why it was part of the Bill of Rights, was that our founding fathers looked around and they said, you know what, if people are not allowed to have guns, then the government who does have guns is just going to tyrannize them once again, and we'll have the same thing that we have fought to overthrow here in this nation, to create the Constitution, to create the Bill of Rights. If we don't stand up for our rights, we lose them. And so this is where it's really important that people get this, because not only do we have to, you know, not only should we be able to go to court and hire an attorney and expect that attorney is actually going to look out for our best interest, but that attorney should be following our directives. And that's the thing. In order for an attorney to properly follow our directives, those directives have to make some kind of sense. And that means we've got to get some, at least modicum, some rudimentary legal education to be able to tell an attorney, hey, look, this is what I need done, and this is the, you know, file this paper. And sadly, we don't get that legal education, so we don't know enough to tell our attorney, these are the things that have to be done. We're relying on them to tell us, this is what needs to be done. But those attorneys have an allegiance to the court that supersedes, in just about every case, their allegiance to those of us who have hired them. So we hire an attorney not knowing that they already have a boss, and that's the court. And so when we say, I'm your boss, I hired you, they say, yes, that's right, I'm supposed to do what you say, and what is it that you want done? But they've got this secret, hidden agenda, if we're unaware that it's a secret and it's hidden, that is, I work for the benefit of the court.
When you call them, not all lawyers are bad. I've had very good lawyers. And obviously not all judges are bad, or maybe they have been misinformed, and they just go by that because one messed up, and so maybe now they feel like they have to protect one another. I don't know. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it, how these things can happen. But it is a money-making machine, I can tell you that. Oh, I just got a text from Dr. Manuel from California, USIS Constitutional Research Group, U.S. Institute of Science. And he says that it is a RICO violation. He just texted that. That is RICO, and it's a violation of RICO Act, what is going on. That's what he just said. I'm just reading it. But if anybody wants to contact him, they can reach out. He'll send you the information, Luann, so you can share it.
That's fine.
Okay? that he's doing a lot of research about guardianship and the laws that are being broken. He says it's a scam.
Absolutely right. And he is right. It is. And RICO, for those of you that are not
familiar with
the term,
is very clear.
Means racketeering, influence, corrupt organization.
Yeah, he says it's because it's undeniable. It's very clear in the Constitution, yet it's not being given in our courts, and we're being robbed. It's basically
of course
what
we're
said.
Being robbed. But you know what the problem is behind all that RICO and all that stuff? Nowadays, you're going to have a hard time even proving a RICO or finding an attorney that'll help you do that. You know, that's the common, number one common complaint we get at Faces Radio, everybody, is that people can't find attorneys, attorneys can't or they won't. And that's what is going on. I've had some people say that they've called 200 attorneys to help them with the guardianship case, and everybody, every single attorney turned them down. That's what everybody needs to be worried about. You know, that is another reason why you should be going to www.familylawprosaisat.com and get some help to not even go into a court. I mean, don't even hire an attorney. I mean, if that's what it's going to take, the more people that we can keep them out of these courts, it's going to bring all those guardianship cases down. I really do believe that. What's your thoughts, Robin?
Well, absolutely. Family law pro.
Well, you know.
Go ahead, Robin.
Oh,
go ahead.
Where do you finish?
Robin, go.
Family law
pro. I want to say something after.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Familylawprosay.com is a school for people who want to deal with their own court case. And they will educate you how to go to court as a pro se litigant, that is, on your own, without an attorney. They will hold your hand. They will educate you. They'll teach you what you need to know, how to approach the court, how to speak to the court, what documents to file, how to file them, what is the timing for the document. And it's run by some attorneys, some retired attorneys of our acquaintance. And they'll review your documents, they'll look at your situation, and they'll guide you through the process.
Every Thursday.
And they have a class every Thursday evening. They specifically didn't do it on Wednesday evening, so they wouldn't conflict with our show, because we're fans of each other, and they want to help. Both of these retired attorneys looked at the mess that is our court system and said, wow, that's so wrong. What can I do to help?
They both were sanctioned.
Yeah, both of them were sanctioned. Both of them faced censure and faced a lot of unjust rigmarole from the courts sponsored by the people that they beat in court, the people that they outwitted, the people that they outmaneuvered in court, and who just didn't like it when they were deprived of being able to rob people. And so they said, well, if you're not going to let us rob people, then we're going to rob you of your license to practice law. And they put so much pressure that each one of these individuals chose
just to retire
so that they, could not have to deal with that particular set of circumstances which they were put in by being good lawyers. So these are, I cannot say enough good things about Leslie Federico, who set out to build and has built this website, and Phil Ross is, I understand, working with her now.
Yeah, he's a Maverick attorney from Texas, everybody. Great guy. He was in the Netflix movie as well. Look into everybody. It really is. Just go ahead and tell them we're going to start taking callers in about 10 minutes. So
I just want to, can I tell
Marcy.
You this real quickly? Because
go ahead,
this is very important. you know, this is a Florida news. You know that Adam Walzer has been won a lot of awards by exposing the guardianship system. And he's even won an award. People can look it up nationwide because he really explains and exposes a lot of the corruption that is going on. This latest one was March 5th, the price of protection. And the headline is Florida Guardian suspended amid reports of hacker activity, missing Mercedes-Benz, and excessive expending. So it is, by me reading this, that they have labeled the Florida guardianship system to be a hacker activity where they take cars, they sell them, they take the properties, they take bank accounts, explosive and extraordinary attorney's fees, and they are labeling it a scam. This is a scam against the most vulnerable of our society, our elders, vulnerable elders, and disabled. Also, they're being misdiagnosed. Either if somebody actually has it, they don't incapacitate it. But if somebody actually doesn't have it, they incapacitate it to fit the hacking activities. That's what they're doing. And this is all in the news. It's nothing that I have fabricated. It is here in the news. So, ladies and gentlemen, we really have to be with our eyes open. And the name of the professional guardian was Kathy Johnson. She had 30 cases, okay, of missing money, lost records, and hacked bank accounts, okay?
Oh, man.
And then the circuit, the good judge, I have to give her my hat. Her name, she's a circuit court judge, and her name is Elizabeth Creer. Okay, she stood up to these people, and she's not having that in her courtroom. Now, to me, that is an ethical, excellent judge who follows, who reads her stuff, and doesn't let anybody come up with defamation of a character in order to steal and isolate the loved ones. So there you have it.
Yeah, there's a lot of words coming out from Florida, and there was the Federici case. I'm trying to think back. There's so many different cases. I have to find it up on Facebook. That they talk a lot about what this woman did. So I'm glad that a lot of these cases are coming out in the public. You know, I think it's awesome.
Oh yeah,
fantastic job.
The shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's, I got another text for Dr. Manuel.
Uh-huh.
He says, grand jury function, right to trial by jury, and a RICO Act, any denials of the first two are felonies under the third.
Yeah.
That's pretty...
That's pretty clear.
That's pretty clear. He apologizes he can't be in the show. But then I also got a text from, what's her name? Let me see what I can find. And she had been in our show. Wait a minute. She says everything was stolen from her. She said, I could do nothing, not even be told of her mother's statue when her death was faked in May 2017, and that she didn't even know until after 4/22/21 that the death was fake. That's terrible.
Good Lord.
Good yeah. Lord. Diane Stinkle, she said Marcy, her mother was denied everything, taken out for lunch on 8/8/17, never to return home again, leaving her every possession sold with her $212,000 orchestrated tax sale. She was forced to wear paper pull-ups and ankle alarm, prohibited a phone while giving chemicals, restrained by the resident doctor approving them, who never until 5/10/17 saw her medical records. Over the phone for a woman who died, that she sent different texts. It's long, but it is sad. That's another one, Diane Stickle, you know. She was right. Being targeted, a daughter. I mean, how can a mother carry a child and being denied not having her daughter at the end of her life because she had Alzheimer's and dementia? I mean, that is messed up.
Yeah, and that one case Adam Walter talked about was about a 56-year-old registered nurse placed in the guardianship, and that was Karen Federighi. She inherited money after death of her stepfather and then her estranged sisters from Illinois hired an attorney to petition to have her placed in a guardianship. And so they stripped her, continued to strip her of her rights. And then she got free, and then she talked to Adam Walter, and they put that story out. But I think it's a fantastic story, and I'm really glad that finally came to surface because she fought that for a long time. Actually, we found her on Facebook many years ago. And I remember Dr. Sam Sugar wanted to help free her. So we were actually out in Florida one time. We were going to do that. But I'm kind of glad it worked out the way it did. Anyway, we've got some hands being raised here into the studio. So if you want to call into the show, the number is 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that will get us into the show. Let's bring in a 618 number first. 618, you have a question or a comment, and welcome to Faceless Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, gang. This is Dennis Ball. Nice to talk to you tonight for a minute.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello.
I was hoping you would call in. I was hoping you would call in because I've had three Facebook different people saying they're Dennis Ball this week, so I'm like, okay, I'm kind of confused.
Oh, okay, well. I'm the original. And
it's been so busy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, for sure. And I was going to say, you know, it's kind of picking up on what Marcy had to say with Karen Fiducci and this guardian down there. Her name is Karen Johnson. And right. There's a story on her where 34 clients.
Go ahead. I think
Karen
it was Kathy
Johnson.
And then there's Karen Federighi.
Right. Maybe it is Kathy Johnson. You may
yeah.
be correct.
Yeah,
I'm correct
it's Kathy
there.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy.
Yeah. I just read it from the report. Everything I read is not fabricated. I read it.
Right. This woman reminds me of April Parks out in
yeah.
Las Vegas. She's in prison. This Kathy Johnson has this lady or had this lady from Ireland that she had incarcerated in a guardianship and
yep.
took her money. And I guess I don't know if the State Department's engaged in this or not. Should be, in my opinion, to get her out of the United States. It's a danger zone. And, I just think that, call your county. That was where that airplane crashed, and those poor pilots burnt up in it. And there just seems to be a lot of stuff down in that part of the world. In Naples, that needs to be corrected, especially through the courts, as we both know, or we all know. and, you know, move it forward. I want to say this, and please just hear me for a second. You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote a book called Gulag Archipelago. He talked about what life was like in the Soviet Union. In my opinion, we're not that far away from getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And in guardianship, to me, based on everything that I've experienced, and I'm still experiencing it, people, in my own mother's case, we have a gulag here, in my opinion, based on the problem and based on what could be considered the solution. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about that because I think it's very timely. And what I have to say about this, I think, has value and relevance because it doesn't necessarily require an attorney. I'm not saying that the attorneys couldn't jump in at some point, but it really has more to do with what we can do as victim advocates to move things along and change out this problem, holding those accountable who have done us wrong, and make our voices heard and possibly even to be able to change it from within by jumping into politics and winning elections. So I just wanted to say hi tonight quickly. I know you're busy with this subject matter, but it's good to talk to everyone from previous conversations we've had, and I would love the opportunity to come back on with you all and discuss more on this topic line of what can we do to solve our own problems outside of the legal system. Even though the legal system is here, we can use the tools of the legal system and question those who might be the type of people that might be able to come and assist us without them playing the game, as we know, with using us as a restaurant check. So,
there you go.
Absolutely right. Yeah,
I
hear you. It's always nice to have you call in and have a chance to chat with you, and I think that's a good idea. We should work it out so that you can come back on.
Yeah.
So we will get in touch with you about that because it's always a pleasure, and it's always an interesting conversation. Thank you for calling. We do have some other callers on the line. I think we'll
appreciate it. We'll be in touch with you, and hopefully you can get a hold of me somehow, because I had three different people tell me they were disabled this week, and I'm like, I'm not sure which one to even answer. So message me and tell me it's you, okay?
Right. No problem. I think I left you a message on Messenger. That's a good way for us to communicate, I think, probably for the moment.
Okay, do that for now. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, and have
Thank
a good
you.
One, everyone.
Uh-huh.
All right, you too.
Okay, let's bring on a 239 number.
239. You're live on Faithless Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hello. This is
Hi.
The first time
yes.
I've called in. Hi.
First time.
My name's Carmen. I'm a friend of Hillary's. She helped me. My mother was in guardianship. And actually, I'm calling about the Florida case. Kathy Johnson was my mother's guardian.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
And I'm in North Carolina now. I was in Florida, and I drove 11 hours just to attend that hearing with Judge Creer, and I kind of wanted to set the record straight on Judge Creer, because Judge Creer has rubber-stamped everything Kathy Johnson has brought before her. She's put many people into guardianship, and what I want to say, the real hero in that case is actually the Inspector General Auditor, her name is Jessica Peterson. I don't know where she came from. She came out of heaven, I guess, but she started auditing all of Kathy Johnson's cases, and she is the one that actually brought all of these cases before Judge Krier. Judge Krier actually, and I know Bridget Manning too. Bridget Manning is the lady from Ireland that we were talking about, that she was put under guardianship. And in her case, she was passing through Naples, Florida, and she ended up in a rehab. She fell, and that social worker there petitioned for guardianship for her. And it ended up Kathy Johnson also being her guardian. Kathy Johnson has moved her all over the place. She ended up moving her out into this house out in the boonies. And actually, I came across Bridget by looking at cases in Collier County. And Bridget was writing to Judge Krier, writing letters to Judge Krier that I'm in this guardianship, Kathy Johnson's stealing from me, all of these things. And Judge Krier never did anything about it. In fact, she came before Judge Krier. There was like a reevaluate her capacity. It was a 10-minute hearing. No, she wasn't given her rights back. So the real hero here, and it is an ongoing investigation, still investigating, is Jessica Peterson, the auditor in that case. So I just wanted to kind of set the record straight on that, that the judges say the right things when you're in the courtroom, but there's more to the story. You know, you can't trust them. That's the bottom line. So, hello?
We're here. I'm just putting up with the
ring. Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. I thought I've been talking.
No. No, we were listening. The question I had for you was, so your mom passed on, right?
She did, and that is kind of a long story. She was under guardianship I've never told you my story, but was under guardianship in two different states. It started in Indiana with siblings trying to put her under guardianship. They got her into a rehab. The doctor there, he saw her one time, and all it takes in Indiana is one, and he faxed it over. He faxed it to this rehab center that she was totally incapacitated, and that's all it takes is just one little letter. Well, we found out they were going to try to do that, and we actually took her out of the nursing home before she was under guardianship and took her to Florida. And, of course, they chased her to Florida, and then we had to go to the court battle there. I ended up trying to fight them, and there's something in Florida where you can have a voluntary guardianship, and that's what I did. And then they came down, tried to apply their guardianship from Indiana and Florida, and that's how we ended up with Kathy Johnson as the public guardian for my mother. And, yeah, it was a nightmare. So anyway, yeah, it was very sad, fight, but I'm glad we got my mother to Florida for a time, and we had a lot of fun while she was there, but in the end, she didn't win. You know, she had to go under guardianship again. But so
oh, wow.
That's all I
yeah.
had to say. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in with
just
us.
Like Collier County is very, it's very clicky. The attorneys can't, even the attorney that's handling her estate now, we had to go to mediation, and he said, well, maybe I can be the personal representative instead of myself. And I said, okay, well, we can do that. I have not heard from the guy. You know, he's, I can't get a hold of him. He won't talk to me. He's a well-known attorney in Naples, Florida. It's just sad what's going on with this guardianship. And that's how I learned about guardianship.
Do you feel like you were denied a trial by jury?
We never came to that. I was afraid of the jury, because I was afraid of not the jury, but of the judge. And I didn't know anything. You know, it was kind of like I was in a a fog, I guess, because I didn't really know what was going on. But I was afraid. We went to we got sent to mediation, and I felt like, oh, if I don't settle this here, we're going to get sent back to court. And I just felt like the judge was going to put my mom under a total guardianship. And so that's why I didn't want to do that. But as far as a jury trial, I never asked for that. So I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know to do that. That would be a good, I think that would be a good thing to have a jury trial that takes it out of the judge's hands, because it's a very cliquey, especially in Collier County in Naples, Florida. It's a very wealthy county, and they all kind of work together. Like it's, and then in Indiana was bad too. That was my first exposure to guardianship, and I had no idea what was going on.
We just had quite a few people that lately on Indiana lately, so I heard that's getting to be a hot spot as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, just the way it happened, it was so odd. The way the doctor, you know, he sent that report immediately, and he saw her one time. She was fine. You know, she was fine. He saw her, actually, he saw her once, and he said that she presented, she was alert, she was, you know, she was fine. She, you know, her mentally, she was fine. And then the social worker wrote to him and said, basically, they needed a guardianship. And so he faxed back that one-page medical report saying that she belonged in a nursing home. She was totally incapacitated. And that's all you need in Indiana, is one page to take to the judge and petition for guardianship. And, you know, goes through. It
so what's
goes
happening
through. But
with
we got
that,
out of there before. You know, I've heard things that have happened with people that, you know, they get charged with kidnapping and all kinds of things. But we got her out before she was put into guardianship in Indiana. And what happened was we got her to Florida, but they still proceeded in Indiana to put her under guardianship. She wasn't notified, but that judge there still put her under guardianship when she wasn't notified. She wasn't even in the state of Indiana anymore, but they went ahead without her being there. They wanted her to come back, and I was like, no, we're not going back. I know as soon as she goes back, she's going to be put under guardianship. So we stayed in Florida, but then they chased her to Florida as well. So,
oh, my gosh. So what is happening with that Johnson case now?
It is it's still being investigated, and they're still investigating more people. Hopefully, I think my mother may be included, even though she's deceased, because they're looking at cases where even people are deceased. So, Karen Federici is another one. I think they're going to look at her case. She was put into guardianship, and even this judge has a guardianship on someone, so a family member, which we just found out recently. So her guardianship went through with no, you know, how they usually they apply for guardianship, and then the family member doesn't usually end up getting the guardianship. It's, you know, they give it to these temporary or guardians or emergency guardians. But in her case, you know, it went straight through nice and smooth. So I don't know. It's a racket.
Go ahead.
I really feel for you. I'd like to meet you sometime. I'm down here in Miami.
Thank you. Well, I'm in North Carolina now. I may be back. I'm going to be watching. I've been attending, you know, some of the hearings, and I think there were three of those wards in this case that they found to be, and Bridget was one of them, to be in imminent danger of, you know, physical danger and because of where they were placed, and also financial danger. So she did take Kathy Johnson off of all of these wards, but these three, they got new wards, and they're going to actually, in Bridget's case, they're going to move her someplace else, and she is going to have to be retested. So that did come from the judge. So that was those were all good
right.
things that she's doing,
mm-hmm.
that she's
right.
doing because. But she's, you know, she's kind of Kathy Johnson is on the chopping block, but she is not the main. You know, everything that Kathy Johnson has done has been approved by the courts. So they know
like
about
that.
It. They know what she was doing. Right.
That's
yeah.
Scary.
So, but this Inspector General, she's young and she's new. She's a new Inspector General, and she is doing her job. She is really doing her job. So we'll see what happens.
What is her name? What is the name?
Her name is Jessica.
What is the
Peters.
Name?
Peters. Her name is Jessica.
Jessica
Peterson. Peterson.
Uh huh.
Peterson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And She was there with her attorney, and they're the ones who brought all of these wards, all of these cases before the judge. So it was a good thing. Yeah, it was a good thing.
Let me ask you something. Did your mother suffer from Alzheimer's and dementia?
Well, of course she did. She was older. But she did not. No, she, you know, when she was with me, when we came to Florida, she was right on top of things. In fact, what we had to do to get the voluntary guardianship was she had to go to several doctors. We had to go to four different, or we went to four different doctors, psychiatrists, and to have her evaluated. And she got a good evaluation from all of them. So you have to have that to get a voluntary guardianship. That means it's almost like a power of attorney where, like my mother could choose me to be her voluntary guardian. And we only did that to try to fight the Indiana guardianship, which was a plenary guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my mother, no, she was, you know, she was fine. She had some physical problems. She started to have physical problems walking, but, you know, no, she didn't really. You know, not really. She was, you know, older, and she had a few age-related things.
I was wondering. I was just wondering how they went about evaluating your mother. So,
you
know, every
case
is really different.
In Indiana?
Well, you know, I know that in Florida, you apply for you file for guardianship, and then it goes through the mental health. And then they appoint three examining committee members, and they
right.
should all be
focused,
like a psychiatrist, a psychologist,
right.
not
yeah.
a social worker, not a professional guardian, but that's what they do sometimes.
They do. And
so it's very important.
They did. Yeah, they're all court appointed.
Yeah.
They all work
for
the court.
We need to have one person speak at a time because these are being recorded
right.
live.
Oh, okay. You know, I'll let you go so I can let somebody else talk. But I just kind of wanted to let
you
know.
I have a number if you want to talk to her. So I wrote that down.
Okay.
If you want to.
All right. That'd
okay.
be great.
Thank you
yeah,
for calling
me
in.
Call
we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. So thank you for your program. It's
yeah.
great to just see what's going on and know that there's, you know, a lot of people that have been affected by this. And
yeah, no,
we're
a
being
lot.
Made aware. And
yeah, well, thank you for coming
aware,
on and
you know,
what's
okay.
going on with that whole scenario. That's great.
Yeah, we
all
really
right.
appreciate
all right. Thank you.
Inside information.
Okay. Thank you.
You.
Thank
uh-huh.
you so much. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All
Bobby,
right.
we have oh, my gosh, that's so cool. 770 number that has their hand raised. 770, welcome to Faces Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, Blog Talk Radio.
Hi to all of you. Hello
Hi.
To all of you. This is Becky, and I just want to comment
hi,
on
Becky.
Something. Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm
good. How are
well,
you?
Oh, I do the best I can. I want to comment on Robin and Luann's comment at the beginning of the show on referencing that you know, we can't trust our own attorneys. I only wish, you know, I say this every time I get a chance to speak. If I would have only known what I know now, but I didn't. And by the time that I really learned everything, my husband had died, and I was in the estate process. With that being said, when they capture these wards, you know, the real goal is the estate. And so whether they deplete it while the ward is alive or whether that ward only is going to live a short amount of time and they have a plan to deplete the estate once they die. With that being said, I hired an attorney thinking that if I went way up in, because this case for the estate was in the state of Georgia, so I thought, okay, if I go up to North Georgia, I'll get out of the corruption. So I hired a father and son team, and listen, the corruption was no different. I mean, these attorneys are all in on it, and when you say that they work for the court, make no mistake that when you hand them $5,000, you've just given them the right to sell you out, to work with the other side. I was not as fortunate to have Leslie and Phil. I wish that I had. I did have enough sense to just spend day and night in libraries, law libraries. I mean, anyone that knew me knew that I was going to learn that system, and I did. And if you go to GeorgiaProbateRecords.com, every single one of those filings, they're my filings. Not one attorney would have ever have filed those filings for me. And the point that I'm trying to make is you want it all on the record. You want the corruption on the record in case you have to take that to a higher court. Because if you have to go to the higher court, it has to be documented in the lower court. And no attorney is going to do that for you. I'll give you an example. I walked into this one attorney's, and I can't tell you how many I interviewed. Some I would get for free. Others I'd pay $250. Others I'd pay $400. There was no rhyme or reason. But I would interview them to see if they would be the person to represent me and my husband's estate, or our estate, but, you know, they call it your husband's estate. So the first thing he said to me is, don't mention the word guardianship. I'm not going there with you. And I had already given him $450. Well, because they are threatened by the judge. The bars, the Georgia bar, they're all behind this. So I think Robin and Luann definitely get it from how they started off this show. But for anyone listening, these folks are working for the other side, and they have no choice. Just like in the guardianship, my attorney told me, he said, it's a damned if you do, and it's a damned if you don't. I can't do the right thing. And that's right, sir, you can't, because you need to work for them, and you need to work for me, and that never works out. So we're just in a losing world there. And the more that we all understand that and understand the concept of it all, then I think we're going to all be a lot better off. And as Robin and Luann have said, we are blessed to have these attorneys to guide us, direct us. But you must do your own homework as well. They can't do it all for you. You've got to have the basic knowledge. And those workshops are something that I already know because I didn't have the value. You know, I didn't have that. But anyway, with that being said, you know, we're all, Robin and Luann are right on the attorneys, and we're all blessed to have Leslie and I'm sorry, I've drawn a blank on his name, but the fellow that's helping her. So anyway, thanks for letting me speak.
Yeah,
Phil. Yeah,
you.
We're so blessed to have. I think Phil's a little more skeptical than Leslie. I think Leslie, you know, maybe isn't as threatened as Phil is because he explained his circumstances, and you certainly can't blame him for that. You know, but together they're a good team, and you know, I just think I just you know I just want to I hope you put it in your book. because if I know that if I, when my husband was first taken, I went for every book I could find. And if I saw your book out there and I saw Don't Trust Your Own Attorney, that would have really, really helped me out. So I just think that's really, really important to put in the book, that you better know your stuff. You better get in there and learn what is really just happened to you. And use your resources.
And I'll put it in
there.
There. And if anybody has
that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This book that we're writing is designed to caution people, to warn people, and to inform people. And one of the things that we say is you need to be aware of just exactly that thing. Your attorney has a hidden agenda in addition to whatever they're telling you.
I think when you get done reading the very first story of mine in the book, you'll notice that there was like $262,000 my mom and the trust had to pay for attorneys, and you'll see the whole list of different first attorney, second attorney, third attorney, fourth attorney, fifth attorney, you know, and a guardian ad litem, guardian. You'll see how this has played out. So we have that in the book. It's going to be a good book. We've been working at it.
It's a blockbuster.
It's a blockbuster.
Well, so good.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
What's going on with your attorney?
Yeah. Well, congratulations, and we're all looking forward to it. We, we'll open our own little bottle by ourselves, but together. So we're looking forward to the celebration of that book coming out. And thank you for letting me speak tonight. Oh, one more thing. I would like to be connected with the lady that just talked with just prior to me. Can't think of her name, Carmen. I'd really like to be connected with her, so I'll send you an email.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks again. Good night to you all. Bye bye.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, Becky. Keep in touch.
Bye.
Oh my
gosh.
Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
Sure will.
Becky's always.
Thank you,
amazing.
Becky.
Amazing.
She's lovely
to talk to. She's the one who opened my eyes back, oh gosh, 2 or 3 years ago, a couple years ago at least. She was talking to Dr. Sam Sugar, and then all of a sudden after that I start hearing husbands and wives. And now she takes all the cases with husbands and wives, and she's been helping out a lot of families. So I'm going to have some segment in the book about her as well. Like, we're still working on this. We got a huge snowstorm coming. Thank God we'll be able to get this book done, you know. But we wanted to just say that Becky's right, everybody. Be careful who you hire. In fact, I am so dead against hiring any attorneys at all, because my family laid out thousands of dollars for nothing. I can't think of one thing any of them attorneys did. Not one thing.
Okay, let me just get in on that. Because I want to say there are good attorneys who do good work,
honey,
and who are well worth hiring. And I, you know, so I can't agree with you. I would never hire an attorney at all. However, what I will say,
I ain't hiring shit.
That if in fact you're hiring an attorney, don't do it because you don't know enough. Educate yourself. You've got to be, while you may want to avail yourself of a legal professional, at the same time, I recommend that you read our book before you hire an attorney.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's several other excellent books out there, a Diamond book. There are a lot of books out there that are well worth reading. That Sam Sugar's book, you know, that will fill you in on a lot of things that you're going to need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have got to take responsibility for what happens to you in court. And the way you do that is by learning the law that surrounds whatever area of law you're in. If you're in the probate courts, then you need to do some homework. You need to learn, well, what is probate? How does it work? What are my responsibilities? How am I discussed in the court? Am I the petitioner or am I the conservator or am I?
Yeah, but you also have to remember that these attorneys, they're charging, some of them are charging $350, $400 an hour. You ain't got time to ask him no damn questions, Harley, because they're clocking you as soon as you're talking to them.
Right.
So you got to be careful of that. I mean, every single phone call I made to the public administrator.
I'm not saying educate yourself by hiring an attorney and then sitting down with them and asking them 1,000 questions.
Right.
I'm saying, you know, figure out.
Get your free 30-minute consultation.
Get
That's
your free
you
30-minute consultation. asking what areas of law do we need to apply to, you know, and what areas of law do you see that I need some.
And then don't talk to them after that.
And then go and start doing research.
You know, there was that one time we had this public administrator that I didn't talk to for almost 5 years because I knew as soon as I picked up the phone, my family was going to be billed. So I just left it. It did. Went and touched nothing. So remember, attorneys are charging you. Yes, there's some good attorneys out there. If you can find one that's honest, decent, you're lucky. And I know there's a lot of them. Phil and Leslie were wonderful attorneys out there. Yeah. Chris Forsythe is an awesome attorney.
And really,
you know,
you'll discover if you've been in this for a while that the really good attorneys have a very short shelf life because they get driven out of.
Yeah.
I'm afraid quite often it's so that they get pushed out by the no good corruption that is happening in our courts. Quite often, a good attorney cannot be a good attorney for more than just a few years before they're under so much pressure from judges and other lawyers because they're saving their clients' money and protecting their clients from predator attorneys that would take their money otherwise. And the courts, you know, these predators in court get angry about it. And then that attorney is put into a position where, you know, now, I mean, we went to every meeting. We went to 7 out of 10 of the meetings of the Judicial Performance Committee when they held meetings all over Colorado. We went to 7 out of 10 of those meetings that we could get to. And at those meetings, 3 different times, random attorney comes in, says, I cannot make a living as an attorney. Because if I do the right thing for my client, the judge will push me down and put my cases last in the docket and rule against me.
Oh, my God.
Things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I'm actually leaving the legal profession.
Three different times.
In 3 different counties,
mm-hmm.
we heard the same story from attorneys. So it's rough there being a good attorney who's working honestly to help people.
Phil Ross said that being an attorney nowadays is a risky business. And did he say that?
Yeah.
I was like, he said he was really glad
That's
to actually
horrible.
Be honest. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess a lot more people are going to get out of it because I'm just reading. Someone sent me this right now. Florida politics, Palm Beach County delegation, targeting elderly exploitation. So the Palm Beach County lawmakers agree the state's guardianship laws need an overhaul.
Yeah. Well, I would say.
And so another article, and this just came out March the 7th. It says, and the situation surrounding seniors who get a court-appointed guardian had heads nodding around the room.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so some are calling it a scam, some are calling it exploitation, some are calling it needs overhaul, some are calling it is corrupted. And so how can any judge get up there and do whatever they please without following the laws? I just, can someone help me understand that? Because I don't understand it.
Okay, let me go ahead and I think I know who this is calling into the line here. Let me get this phone right now. 561 number. You're live.
Hello.
This must be my friend.
Hello.
Oh, we know who that is.
We know who this is.
We do.
Go ahead, Elliot. What's up?
Hi,
Elliot.
I want to start
welcome to our show.
Well, and thank you for letting me speak for again another moment. Send everyone. But I don't know who said it about a fool represents himself, or a person who represents himself as a fool for a lawyer. Mm-hmm. But I happen to agree with that. And, you know, for 25 years, I represented myself pro se because I didn't want lawyers to get killed or disbarred, especially friends of mine who were lawyers. And I was in insurance and estate planning with my family since birth. So I didn't want to bring anybody in who was going to get disbarred or whatever representing me while I was fighting Supreme Courts and state bars and every lawyer who stole my patents. And then I got really sick after 20 years, and I needed help, and I went to lawyers. And I've introduced this group to all of them, Lalit, Leslie, Arthur, Inger. And these are good people with good ethics who are willing to stand in the face of the corruption, are willing to take hits from the bar, willing to put their licenses and lives on the line to help people like me and my kids and stand up against corruption. Now, there was a lady from Georgia on the phone, I think Inger Garcia, my current attorney, who's replaced my last two attorneys, Leslie and Arthur, were disbarred after representing my children.
Right.
Which in my case is common because they don't want anybody to even know who I am. Okay, and I'm very famous and none of you know me. And yet you all use my technology day and night. But the bottom line is this. With people like Arthur and Inger and Amber Patwell and the handful of attorneys who have stuck their neck out on the line and actually started to try to free people, and I just saw, I don't know who the lawyer was for it, Luann, maybe you do, the guy who was taken from Florida to Connecticut, and Mitch Kit Roser and his firm, and Byerly from the Catherine Navarro case.
I know. I've heard so many different cases. Man, I don't know. Okay.
Well, they just freed a guy this week who got freed by the judge who's currently handled the guardianship against Pat Somm. And my cases, her name is Samantha. Samantha something Fuhrer, Schlossberg Fuhrer kind of name there. But nonetheless, she let this guy go and got rid of Byerly and Kit Roser, who were the same people who were harming Benito. As I'm sure most of listeners remember.
So my question to you, Elliot, while you're on the phone, last week we talked to Phil Ross, and he said that it is awesome when people defend themselves and they be their own pro se, because he said he saves himself thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And he goes, and if you go in front of an attorney, you could pay them $50,000 and he might get the same result as you as a pro se litigant. What do you feel about that?
True. But it's much harder. It's much harder for them to go against lawyers like Arthur, like Leslie, who are, going against Elliot. I'm a dumb inventor who changed the world with some cool inventions. I'm not a lawyer. I didn't study law. That would be like literally asking me to go perform a brain surgery on your mother because you don't trust brain surgeons.
Okay, I know.
And that's what all these people are. And I love what Leslie's doing, arming people with knowledge so they know what's going on. And what I was trying to say last week was, listen, F. Lee Bailey could go in with his team, an army of, but if it's a dirty court with a dirty judge and a dirty lawyer, he doesn't stand a chance. But I can tell you this, you, individual who's not a licensed lawyer in the art of law, stand no chance if F. Lee Bailey does it. You know what I mean? So when a lawyer's willing to put their ass on the line like Inger, Leslie, whatever, to help us, you should be flooding them. What I find a lot of times, Luann, and I know you know this, is that these lawyers try to help and these people are indigent. They've run out of money because they've spent it on other lawyers, whatever. And they get angry at these lawyers. And it gets hard for the lawyer to do, like Inger's helped out, you know, a bunch of people who, you know, haven't paid her a lot. But I know that the cases she's taking, most lawyers would demand $25,000 upfront, period. Otherwise, kiss your mother goodbye. Kiss your estate goodbye. Go fuck yourself is what they'll tell you. And they won't even get in again. And like, excuse my French.
But one thing, Elliot, you can say that is if a lot more people start basically going into court for themselves and eventually slowing the market down for hiring an attorney, don't you think that would help in a way as well? I mean, don't you think, Rob?
No. These judges have conferences on how to destroy pro se litigants. We caught them years ago having a conference in Texas event for pro se litigants, and we had an insider expose what really went on at that function, which was a federally sponsored program where federal judges met, and the whole discussion was how to sink pro se litigants, how to deny their filings, how to, you know, and that's why you guys, as pro se litigants, there's so many. Go to law school. That's what I suggest. If you want to be a lawyer or try to be your own lawyer, you better go to law school. Otherwise, you're performing brain surgery on your mother, and you never went to brain surgery school.
Yeah, but I don't agree in all cases. I went pro se.
Yeah, hold on. Go ahead, Marcy.
I went pro se, and the judge recused himself.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but mine was a simple thing. All I did was like, how could this be happening to my mother? Here is her evaluation from the psychiatrist appointed by the court who signed under perjury that my mother was not in her right mind. She suffered from cognitive impairment, short-term memory loss. How can this be happening? Did you get this? He got up, threw a number two pencil, and he said, if you come back to my court, I'm going to say you're abusing me. And then he recused. I opened my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. And then he goes, there you are, opening your mouth. I felt so horrible. Not even my parents ever yelled at me like that. And then he recused himself.
Exactly. Well, that's the issue we have with a lot of this stuff going on. Well, anyway, we got to say goodbye. We've got exactly 1 minute left of the show. So we just want to say, you know, if you have any issues and you feel like you do want to go pro se because you just don't have the money, you have no other option, go to www.familylawprose.com. Get a hold of Leslie Federico. You can also talk to her about Phil as well. And if you need to contact me at the radio show, do it at faceusradio@hotmail.com. And we'll keep in touch, I guess, every week. It's the same number you call into, the 845-241-9962 is the same number. And you always press a 1 when you call into our show. Remember, all of our shows are recorded and archived. You can find that in Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us up on Twitter. And hopefully we'll have a website out coming out soon and a book. So we're working on that as well. And remember,
justice requires transparency and accountability. And giving up is not an option.
No matter how you look at it, no matter how it is,
And you're right. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. I mean, that's a pretty good thing that I've learned today on this radio
show. There's a lot of truth to that, but, you know. I
can hear
like, you don't know unless you try. You don't know unless you try.
The show's dedicated.
I think you still have to stand up for what is right and just and true, no matter what. Because what are you going to do? You're going to, you know, you could either be a sellout and do what you know is wrong,
mm-hmm.
or hold on to what's right with everything you got and go down swinging. And, you know, for me, there's really only one choice. I'm not going to compromise my integrity because somebody doesn't want me to have that integrity.
Right.
I'm not going to give it up. I will fight to my dying breath for what is just, true, and right.
And that's what Gordon Weiberg did.
That's right.
He was an amazing man. Everybody, Gordon Weiberg, we are dedicating this show to him on March 13th, 2024. Rest in peace.
God rest his soul.
Yeah, he was an amazing man, everybody. Anyway, good night. We'll see you again next week.
Good night.
We got a long, big storm to get through tonight, though, and tomorrow, everybody. We're expected 2.5, good 2 feet, maybe 3 feet. We're not sure yet. But that even seems like a storm to me. Oh, my God.
Blow us some cold wind, and you guys be safe. I'm going to say
good
night.
You go.
God bless
good night,
everybody.
Good night.
God
we're
going to
play
you.
The full loop from Danny Kaye. Good night, everybody.